Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, today we're continuing to learn about how God provides for us, right? Last week, we kind of focused in on how God protects us against Satan's attacks. Satan always tries to come at us. He always tried to attack us with different lies, subtle lies, quiet lies, kind of sneaky little lies, and sometimes they're bold, outrageous, aggressive lies, right? But through all of this, God gives us special spiritual armor to protect us from all of Satan's attacks. We never need to be exposed by his attacks because we know that if we put on his armor, it's fully going to protect us and help us to see through the lies that Satan throws at us, attacks us with, right? He shows us how to respond to Satan's attacks by standing strong, standing firm. There's no need to be afraid of them because he's basically a toothless lion, right? And man, I was reading a verse that talks about that. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it's so true because we can stand strong. The reason we can stand strong is because he that is within us is so much greater than he that is in the world, right? Well, every believer, including you, not only faces Satan's attacks of lies, but we also consistently face the temptation to sin. The temptation to sin. So here's a question. As we are those who are in Christ, as we are those who are in Christ, how do we deal with the temptation of sin? How does being in Christ help us to have victory over temptations to sin? Because it's true, like, you know, if we think about it, we constantly are bombarded with a temptation to sin, right? To sin in our lives, right? How do we deal with that? How do we face the temptation to sin? That's what we're going to look at today. Who you are in Christ, God provides every protection that you need so that you are fully protected, fully able to have victory in temptation. So first, let's think about this for a little bit. First, what is temptation? How do we understand temptation? How does it attack us? How does it go against us, right? Well, when we went through the book of James a couple years ago, we really went into a lot of detail about how to deal specifically with temptation. And it's going to help us a lot when we understand this as people who are in Christ. So let's go to James chapter 1. And we're going to spend most of our time today in James chapter 1 as we go back over these important things to help us to be reminded of how who we are in Christ protects us from temptation. We're going to look specifically at James 1, 13 through 18. James 1, 13 through 18. In verse 13, it says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And first, it's important to understand where God fits into all this. It is important to understand that God is never the source of your temptation. He is never the source of that. You see, the more you see how holy God is, the more you realize how pure and holy God is, and how that pureness, how that holiness causes him to literally abhor to the worst feeling you can get, how you're like absolutely disgusted and abhorred with something. That's how God feels against sin. He's absolutely disgusted, abhorred by it. So the last thing that your Heavenly Father is going to do for you as His dear child is to cause you to do something that He Himself literally abhors and is disgusted by. So the question comes, well, then why am I tempted to sin? Why do I have these temptations to sin? Where does this come from? Verse 14 gives us the answer. It says this, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Temptation comes when we face a sin that our heart desires. It's important to understand that you're not the only one who faces this. Every person, every man is tempted. All of us deal with the struggles of temptation. You are not alone in your battle against temptation. Everyone faces temptation. Understand that. Recognize that. And that's because in every one of us, why is that? It's because in every one of us, we all have this heart who has a leaning, a wanting to go after sin. We have this tendency to pursue sin, right? And so how does temptation work? Okay, now that I recognize that it's my heart that is drawn towards temptation, and that's what causes temptation in the first place, how does this temptation aspect work in my life? Well, as you go through life, there's going to be times when your eye catches something, when your heart sees something, where something is triggered and your heart is drawn towards a specific sin that you know is not right, that you know you shouldn't go after, but your heart is pulled towards it and you want to do it. And your heart is basically saying, ooh, I want that. You know, your heart is enticed by it, right? It wants to have it. It has to have it. It doesn't know what it's going to do without it, right? And that's what this verse is saying. It's like your heart is pulled away, drawn away, and your heart is enticed by it. Really and truly, if you think about it, one of the best ways we can understand how temptation works is by understanding the process of fishing. You know, if you've ever gone fishing, you kind of understand the process by which fishing works, right? You know, if you've been fishing long enough, you know that one of the best things not to do is just put a hook in the water. Typically, that does not work very well, right? You're not going to catch many fish. Not to say that you're not going to catch any fish, because occasionally you have a fish that's not that smart. Like, it sees the fish and says, ooh, I wonder what that's going to do. And he bites it. And you know, that's, you know, the rest of the story there. But most of the time, just a bare hook doesn't work. Why is that? There's really nothing there to entice the fish, right? There's nothing there to lure the fish to bite onto the hook, right? So what do? Most of the time you put like something on there, like a tasty bait or something, right? So that when the bait goes into the water, the fish smells the bait. He's like, ooh, that smells good. And so he goes after, he's like, what is that? Well, that's looking interesting. And pretty soon his attention is so focused onto the bait that he takes a big bite of that bait only to realize that there's a hook embedded into the bait. Or sometimes you put a colorful lure, a shiny lure, and all the light flashing on it, reflecting on it. And it's like the fish looks at it, it's like, oh, that looks amazing. That looks interesting. What's all this about? And his attention is drawn to the colorful, colorful line shining on the lure, and the colorful lure and the shiny lure. And he sees it. It's like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that is. I wonder how that tastes. And he takes a bite out of it. The fisherman uses these things, uses the smell of the bait, uses the colorfulness of a lure to draw the attention on the fish. So it focuses its attention so much on the bait, on the lure, that the fish is willing to ignore the warning signs of the hook that is attached to it. Does that make sense? His eyes are so focused on the bait, so focused on the lure, that it's willing to ignore the warning signs of the hook. The truth is, you and I, we're not that much different than fish, if you think about it, right? Because that's how temptation works for us. Like, we see something, and the lure of it, the allure of that thing is so strong, and we're like, our eyes and our heart are so focused in on that, that we totally are oblivious, we choose to be oblivious to all of the warning signs that are all around the bait, the lure of temptation. Each of us has... What's interesting is this. You and I have all different kinds of temptations that we deal with. Your temptation may be totally different from my temptation, right? We may be tempted to be tempted by pride, something about pride that makes us drawn towards something, right? Or maybe it's the heart that's selfish, right? Something that brings out the selfishness of the heart, and we're tempted by that. Maybe it's sexual lust where we're tempted by that and we're drawn to things like that. There's all kinds of ways that you and I can be tempted. It's why a fisherman has different lures and different baits, right? If the fish isn't interested in one kind of bait, what does he do? He changes his bait. Hey, let's try something else. Let's try a different kind of bait. Maybe he's doing a lure and he's like, oh, this lure isn't seeming to work well. Let me try a different kind of a lure. We all have different lures. We all have different bait, different lure that catches our eyes. We all have different bait that catches our senses, right? Different temptations that draw us in, that heighten our heart's desire to have it, right? That's very much how temptation works. It's there. It may work for you, but it may not work for me. Something that may work for me may not work for you. But when something works, it's like our heart is drawn to it. It pulls us in. The interesting thing is that a lot of times Satan uses his attacks of lies and combines them with our heart's temptation, our desire to pull in towards temptation. And it basically does like a combo attack on us, right? He manipulates our desire for sin by showing us the flashy lure, the tasty bait. All the while, he uses his lies to distract us from the awful hook and instead focus our attention on the tasty bait. He says, look at how good this is. Oh, you so need this. You deserve this. You should totally try this. Literally, this is exactly what he did to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Go with me real quick to Genesis 3, because we see this clearly played out, where Satan attacks Adam and Eve with his lies, and yet in the same time, they were fully, their heart was being tempted by the sin that was there. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 4 through 6. Verse 4 says this, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." God had literally said, if you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat that fruit, you will die. Satan says, no, he's just playing. He didn't really mean that. You're not going to die. Verse 5, "For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Totally drawing them into the bait. Totally showing them, this is what God's going to do. He said you're going to die, but he really didn't mean it. Really what he's trying to do is keep you from being like him, so that you know good and evil. He's lying and using those lies to heighten their temptation. You see the subtle lies, but also look at how Eve was enticed by the fruit, how she was enticed in her heart by it. Look at verse 6. "And when the woman saw the tree was good for food," it's good for food. Ooh, that looks really good. "And that it was pleasant to the eyes." She wanted that. "And a tree to be desired to make one wise." Pride of life right there. That's where her heart was getting pulled towards. What did she do? She bit the bait. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. But she wasn't alone. Adam also, "and gave also unto her husband with her," who was listening to the whole conversation, "and he did eat." They were deceived by Satan's lies, but they were also enticed by the temptation. They bit into the bait only to discover that everything that the temptation was offering was all a lie. It always is. Temptation is always a lie. Underneath the tasty temptation is a horrible, horrible hook. And that's true for us too. If temptation is the bait for us, then here's a question. What is the hook? What happens? What is the horrible hook that destroys us? The answer is found back in James 1. So let's go back there. James 1, we're going to look at verse 15. Verse 15 says this, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." When lust is allowed to have its course, it births sin. See, the process that leads to sin starts much further, much earlier than the actual act of the sin. It happens when we let lust continue to dwell in our hearts. What happens? If we let lust continue in our hearts, sin will be birthed, right? This is important to understand. It's like trying to stop a leak, right? When we try to stop a leak, when we try to stop sinning at the, let me talk about it this way. When we try to stop sinning at the act of the sin, we're already too late. We have to act at the point of the leak, at before the point of the leak, what births about the act of sin. Like a trying to fix a leak in your kitchen, right? You have a leak in your kitchen. So what do you do to fix it? You mop the floor. And while this does clear up the water in a sense, it doesn't stop the source of the leak. You will continue to struggle with the leak. What we need to do is stop the leak at the source. In the same way, if you only struggle with the act of sin, but never understand that this is simply a follow through of the source of the act of sin, you're going to constantly struggle with sin. You have to stop it at the leak. The source of sin is temptation. That is where you deal with the problem. And in the same way that if you let a leak go on, if you decide, you know what, it's not worth it, the water just keeps coming, I'm just going to let it go, it's going to destroy your house. In the same way, if you let sin go on, lust that conceives brings forth sin, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Destruction. What is this death that sin brings about? Simply put, the simple answer is separation. Separation. Think about physical death, right? Physical death. Your soul is separated from your body, right? So your body becomes lifeless. It's unable to respond to the physical world because your soul is no longer connected to it. There's no life there. There's nothing there to bring about a response, right? Spiritual death is the same way. It is when your spirit is separated from the one who created you, right? It makes you lifeless and unable to respond and interact with God. You're separated. It's literally what God said would happen to Eve if she ate the fruit. If you eat this, you will die. That's what happened. Eve and Adam were both completely separated from the goodness of God forever, right? This is where we were before we put our faith in Jesus. We were separated from God forever until Jesus restored the connection. Until Jesus brought us back to life. He restored your connection with God, connected you to the source of life, so your spirit now once again has life and is able to interact with the one who created you. So if you are in Christ, know that you are completely secure in Him. But while you are secure in Him, even when you sin, there is still an act of separation that happens. There is still a separation that happens here too. While your eternity is secure and your spiritual destination is secure, there is an effect that happens with sin, is that it causes a separation in you. It happens in your heart. It separates your heart from the one that you have sinned against. Whether it be your Heavenly Father, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your husband or your wife, or your children. Think about a child. He disobeys mom or dad, right? When that child disobeys mom or dad, like let's say you disobeyed dad, right? And dad's coming home. The last thing the child is feeling is like, oh man, I can't wait for dad to come back so we can play and hang out together. No, really what the child is thinking, even though dad may not know at all what's going on, in the child, because he has disobeyed, because he has sinned against his dad, there is that sense of separation that is already embedded into his heart. He does not look forward to his dad coming home. In fact, he does everything he can to avoid his dad until that is resolved, right? What happened? The child's sin caused separation in the child's heart toward his Father. That's what happened to us. It's what happens to us when we let sin abide in our hearts. There's that separation in our heart. But thankfully, praise God, there's forgiveness fully available to us, always available to us because we are in Christ. Because I am in Jesus, I am forgiven. So if you do sin, don't let it stay in your life. Quickly and boldly go to your Father, to the throne of grace and mercy. Confess it. Get forgiveness. It's fully available to you because you are in Jesus. Don't let it fester. Don't let it produce death in your life. Don't let it produce separation in your heart. Instantly go to your Father and restore that connection, right? Here's the thing, though. There are so many Christians who struggle with temptation, right? They have this pattern of life where they're tempted, they sin, they have that separation. They come to their Father, seek forgiveness, find forgiveness, live a life of victory until they are tempted. Then they sin. Then they struggle with that separation of sin. And the cycle continues over and over and over again. It's just like the children of Israel sinning, the separation that happens, and then the repentance and then the restoration. It just continues, right? That's not how God wants you to live the Christian life. This is not God's plan for your life as one who walks after Him, as one who is in Him. There is a better way. What is that way? See, here's the thing. God protects you from sin by giving you a way of victory even in temptation. So what is that way? Where is that provision that God gives to us so that we are free from temptation? We can have victory over temptation. Not free from temptation, but victory in temptation. Let's keep reading James 1. We just finished verse 15. Let's go to verse 16. Here's what it says. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In other words, don't be deceived by temptation's lure. Don't be deceived by that. Don't mess up with that. Don't make that mistake. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's constant, consistent. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now you may be reading this and you're like, time out, Steve. Like, what in the world does this have to do with having victory in temptation? How does this have anything to do with temptation? The answer, everything. It has everything to do with how we withstand against, how we defeat temptation. Let's think about this for a second, okay? Think with me. What does sin offer you? What does sin offer you? Sin, in its ultimate foundational form, offers you satisfaction. It offers your heart something that it will be satisfied with, but the only problem is what it offers is totally different from what it delivers. It delivers sin and death. What does God offer? Something entirely different. Every gift of God, look at what it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Here's what it means. Every gift that God gives is fully perfect. And every way that He gives you these gifts is fully good. That's amazing. I'm going to say that again because that was just crazy good. Every gift that God gives is fully perfect. And every way that He gives you those gifts is fully good. And the thing is, it never changes. God never changes. There's no shadow of variableness. There's no turning of God. It's consistently good, consistently perfect. While sin may bring death, while it births death, God births life in us, not through deceit, but through truth. Verse 18, of His own will begat He us, birthed He us with the word of truth. We know that what God says is true. That does not change. So how does this fight help us fight against the battles of temptation? How does this help us? What does knowing that the good things God gives us help us in our struggle against temptation, or our battle against temptation? The answer is summed up in one simple fishing phrase. A full fish doesn't take the bait. A full fish doesn't take the bait. You know how you go fishing sometimes and the fish just don't seem to bite? Like, you can try lure after lure after lure. You can try bait after bait after bait. Just nothing. They're just not biting at all. You know, usually when that happens, it happens when you timed it wrong and it's after they've already eaten. They're already done eating. They're full. They're satisfied. They're like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'm good. I'm totally full. I don't need anything. So you put in anything that looks like tasty to them, but they're like, that's it. I'm done. I don't need it. I'm totally full. I'm totally satisfied. That's literally how we avoid and have victory against temptation. We choose to be satisfied in Jesus. Here's the thing. Because you are in Christ. It's just so amazing how all of these things are all connected together. Because you are in Christ, God gives you everything to be full and satisfied in Him. He does not hold back His goodness towards you. He gives you His love. He gives you His joy. He gives you His peace. He gives you His hope in the future. He gives you contentment in the present. He gives you everything. And His goodness in you is able to fully and completely satisfy your heart. You can be fully satisfied in Him. This and so much more is what your Father gives you if you choose to have your satisfaction in your Father. His ability to satisfy you, if you choose to find your satisfaction in Him, is fully capable of fully satisfying you. That's the amazing thing. But what happens is when we choose not to find our satisfaction in Him, this is when temptation, the lure of temptation, becomes stronger. We discover that our hearts are starting to hunger after something, and our hungry heart starts to pull us toward what we would have been fully satisfied and fully not a problem if we would have been finding our satisfaction in Jesus. When we pull away from our satisfaction in our Father and we start to hunger again, that temptation becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. It pulls us toward the bait of sin. And here's the question. What do you do when you start sensing that pull? What do you do when the lure of temptation, you sense your heart wanting it more and more and more? The answer is found all through Scripture. Everywhere you look, what do you do when you find yourself facing temptation? There's so many places. Like 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 14, it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. The Corinthian church family were struggling with the temptation of idolatry and all the sexual aspect of idolatry. And they're like, they were lured to that. And Paul says, run from it. Get away from it. Flee from it. He says again in 1 Corinthians 6, 18, he says again, flee fornication. Don't stand up against it like you do against Satan. Run from temptation. Flee from it. It's important to understand this, that you don't stand against temptation. You don't fight it like you fight Satan's lies. The answer to temptation is you run from it. Don't go near it. Stay away from it. Avoid it at all costs. But just as important as it is to flee from temptation, it's also important to understand where you're supposed to flee to. Where do you go? Not just run from, but run toward what? Paul tells Timothy the secret to where you run to. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says this. But thou, O man of God, Paul's talking to Timothy. He says this, flee these things. What these things are is the love of money, where Paul was talking about earlier. Flee these things, love of money. Run away from it. And also follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Run from these things that may be tempting to you and run toward the gifts that God has fully provided for you. Run toward your Father, the source of all of these things mentioned in this verse. He says again in another letter, 2 Timothy 2, he says the same thing. Verse 22, 2 Timothy 2, 22 says this, flee also youthful lusts. That's the temptation. Run from it. Flee from it. But he doesn't stop there. He keeps going on. But follow, run towards, pursue what? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here's what he's saying. Look, there's guys who is running towards your Father. Find yourself, connect yourself to them, and follow after your Heavenly Father. Pursue Him. Run from the temptation. Run to your Father, from whom comes all of these good and perfect gifts, and find your complete satisfaction in Him, so that you will be so full, so satisfied in your Heavenly Father that the lure of temptation has no effect on your full and comfortable heart because you are in Christ. When you do notice that your heart is starting to feel the effects of temptation, that's a great time to run to your Father. When you start feeling that tug, when you start feeling that pull, don't wait until you get to the act of sin and start taking action. As soon as you feel that tug, run to your Father. You do not have to fall in temptation. Because you are in Christ, you have everything you need to be able to have victory in temptation. You are protected in temptation. God protects you and He cares for you by giving you everything you need to be fully satisfied in Him. So when you see that temptation, you're already full. You're already satisfied. A child who is fully satisfied in his Father does not take the bait of temptation. That can be you. Find satisfaction in your Father. Enjoy His love. Enjoy His peace. Enjoy His goodness in your life, so that when temptation comes, the pull is much weaker. Run to your Father. Flee temptation. Run to your Father so you find full satisfaction in Him. If you do that, you will find, I promise you will find victory in temptation. Find satisfaction in your Father and you will have victory in temptation. This is all because of who you are in Christ. In Christ, you are prepared to defeat temptation. You are protected in temptation. Praise God for that, right? Well, let's pray. And think about that this week. You will probably face temptation this week. When you face those lures, run to your Father and see how God can provide everything you need to help you have victory even in temptation. Father, thank you so much. Wow. Thank you for how you care for us. Even here we see, even in the middle of the battle of temptation, we see that you have fully cared for us by making sure that we have everything we need to be completely satisfied in you if we choose to pursue you, if we choose to follow after you. What a great help you are to us. Jesus, thank you so much for once again allowing us to be in you so that we can have this victory even in temptation. Thank you so much. Help us to pursue you, Father. When we sense that tug, help us, Holy Spirit, help us to send warning bells all throughout our soul so that we recognize, ooh, I'm getting tempted here. I'm not finding satisfaction in my Father. I need to go to Him. Help those warning bells to constantly go off in our mind and in our heart when we feel that tug of temptation. Thank you so much for all of the ways in which you care for us as we walk through life here on earth. Jesus, thank you. And it's in your name we pray this, and in your name we are full of thanks for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen.